So today is our, as I said already, is our final, sorry, I'm grabbing a Bolton, is our final sermon in the Holy Ground series. And I'm using this series because my friend actually was responsible for pulling it together, Corey. And I think I already told you at the beginning of the series, but I just think this is a really cool story, that Corey started a wild church. The land was a wild church. That's where I come from. And she started it where I grew up, in this town of like 500 people. So when I went back home 2 summers ago to upstate New York, I got to visit her church. And when I came back, my colleague told me, yeah, Corey told me that you visited her wild church. And she said she was so nervous because you were there. And it was kind of the first time I had this experience of, oh, like somebody is paying attention. Like this isn't what, not me, but what we were doing together was inspiring somebody else to do something with other people there. And this connectedness just made me feel as though I was held in this web of belonging. That no matter what happened with the land, that it was trickling out in ways that I would never know, that we would never know. Which is the same for Highlands, which is the same for each and every one of us in our individual lives. The things that we do ripple out. We'll never completely know the outcome. And Joanna Macy, who some of you may have heard of before, but she is just this wonderful maternal presence who's an amazing environmental advocate, says that that's the key to sustaining the work that we're called to do in the world, is to let go of the outcome, which is also the commissioning that I think that Jesus gives us, is that each and every day we do the best we can with what we know, and we surrender to the fact that we just don't know what the outcome is going to be. For the past few weeks, I've realized that I've been dragging anybody who will come with me, Lewis has been there, to my backyard. Like, I just want you to see my backyard. And then every time I get the person to my backyard, I realize that maybe they're not seeing what I'm seeing. That I have really, what they're probably seeing is that I have just made a ginormous mess of my backyard. Kay's laughing because she's seen it. I have dug 3 deep trenches, essentially. But what I'm showing you is not 3 deep trenches. What I'm showing you is what I'm seeing in my head. What I believe it's becoming. This gorgeous, rich garden. Flowers, vegetables. What I'm bringing back there for people to see isn't what's there, but what I believe is possible. And that's what our scripture is doing for us today. We're being invited to imagine what our lives, what our world can be. To leave behind all of these critical critiques that are pushed in front of us each and every day that say, well, you don't have enough money, or you didn't do it this way, or you don't have enough help. All of those realities, to set those aside for 1 minute and to be spirit-led, to believe that maybe in our lifetime, everybody is right. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough knowledge, but it's not about us. It never was. We are always, in each generation, starting something that we will never finish. And this is the blessing of our lives. Romans 8, 12 through 21. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life 1 red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a child like, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who God is, and we know who we are, parent and child. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Christ, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Christ. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. The word of God for the people of God. We are being invited in this scripture, in our lives as faithful people, to be Spirit-led. In Romans, we are presented with two ways of living in the world. It's very binary. It's broken down. It's kind of a simple way of seeing life. But ultimately, it's being invited to see things in this material view. This is what we have. This is how things usually go. This is what is most likely to happen. And I'll be honest that when I read this passage in Romans, I always think that the sentence that says, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, is going to have a different ending than what it has in this passage. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us. If you heard that in any other context, what would you think the ending to that was going to be? Like a positive, wonderful surprise? No, to me, when I read this, I'm like, oh dear. Like, I have done something truly bad, and I am going to get what's coming to me. Like, that's just our mindset. That's the material mindset. It's always doubting. It's always being nervous. It's always wondering, what is coming next? My friend sent me this meme last night, and she was like, it was something about, don't worry, you'll get through this thing, and then the next thing will come, because it never ends. And it's like, that to me is how it feels in life sometimes. But the reality is that how we live, whether that's in this reality zone of the material world, of what's most likely to happen, or whether we move over into this place that Paul is inviting us to be in Romans, where we see what could become, when we start to believe that the impossible is just as likely as what the material says is possible, that when we begin to come over into this place, our whole view, our worldview shifts and changes. Our embodiment softens. We become a warm presence in the world. When the reality is, it often feels cold and desolate. What I noticed about myself this week was a shift happened. I went to close the bank account, might take my signatory off after a year of the land's bank account. And they're going through some changes that I didn't anticipate them going through. And I haven't been handling it all that well. I thought that I was better than all of this. I'll be honest with you. When you do something and you're proud of it and you move on to another job or whatever transition you are in your life, you want to think that you are healthy, that you are the person who can just bless it and let go. And I thought that I was doing that. But when you see all of these changes that you didn't anticipate, that you can't control, the reality is that in the material world, you start to doubt your place. You start to wonder if you did things wrong, maybe you didn't do enough, You start to wonder why this is happening, because it's not exactly what you planned or maybe even what you wanted. And then I started to go back to the garden in my backyard and see the reality of what other people probably saw. 3 trenches with clay mud that may just, in fact, regardless of how much compost I dump into it, suffocate anything that I planned. And it became almost impossible to go back there this week. Because what's the point, anyway? If it's all clay and mud, if the air is too dirty to breathe, then are we just wasting our time? Is it even worth it? You start to feel like all of this effort you put in, maybe other people do know better. Maybe what other people are seeing about what you're trying or your crazy ideas or your ambitious thoughts, maybe they were right all along. And Romans jumps in into this moment and pulls us back out and says, it was never yours to begin with. That garden that you thought you were planting, it doesn't belong to you. I am just calling you to plant one plant and to trust that what grows is beyond our lifespans. That there is a broader, bigger, beautiful plan. What I was struggling with was with the land this week is I have felt God at work in every single moment that I have been involved in the land. And so what's happening? But what I realized was that what I was seeing as God being involved was really me being involved. And there's a big, enormous difference with what that looks like. Because when God is involved, it's unpredictable. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. It's maybe not the way that we would have planned or how we would have controlled it into being. It's mysterious. It's scary. It's unpredictable. And it's humbling that in our lives we are called to be spirit-led. We are called to admit that maybe somebody else or something else knows better than we know. Maybe we were just called to show up and be gardeners, to believe that something could be planted in a trench full of clay, and that the people you gather around the place could see that whether or not what grows there, what's planted there grows, we believe in the possibilities of what is to come. I pray this for Highlands Church, that we will be spirit-led, that we will be softened and humbled and brought together in new ways, that we will be called to help one another in our community to listen and to learn and to believe in the things that others see as impossible because we believe in the word and the promise of God. Amen.